And good morning to you. This is a great way to start off a new year, isn't it? It's being together and enjoying the sunshine, enjoying each other's company. And this morning, I'm going to share a couple of stories and some thoughts that have impacted my life over the years, over the decades. And we're going to begin with scripture passages, really beautiful scripture passages, wonderful ones to start off on the right foot for the new year. And they are short and they are impactful. First one is from Jeremiah 29 that says, "I know the plans I have for you, says God. Plans for you to flourish. Plans to give you a future with hope." And from Ecclesiastes, "God has made everything beautiful in its time." And then Psalm 90, "Teach us to number our days, that we may gain a heart of wisdom." May God bless these words of abundant life. Amen. So 46 years ago, I heard a statement and it was from Mahatma Gandhi. And it was just a couple of words, but as soon as I heard them, I couldn't stop thinking about them. And I kept going over them in my mind and repeating them to myself again and again. And it's a statement, but I kept asking it as a question to myself. And I kept doing this until it changed me. And a very short story of the statement, behind the statement, is this. Gandhi was on a train in India. He was surrounded by loads and loads of people. And it was jam-packed outside of the train before it was taking off, and including packs of reporters that were pressed up against the window where he was sitting. And everybody was just trying to get a look. They were trying to get something, a glimpse, a snippet. And one of the reporters, at one point, shouted out to him. He said, "Mahatmaji, Gandhiji," he said, "give us a message." And Gandhi didn't say anything. But he took a paper bag, might have had his lunch or something in it, and he ripped off a little piece of paper, and he took a pen, and he wrote a few words on the paper. And he gave it to the reporters. And the piece of paper said, "My life is my message." Yeah. My life is my message. And I was repeating this to myself again and again. I thought, well, what's my life? What's my message? And it was interesting because instead of jumping to some quick answer, I found myself just asking that question again and again. And I felt like I got so much out of asking the question instead of jumping to some quick answer. My life is my message. What's my message? That's one story. Another one is this. There's a man named Jeff Davis who shared this story. He wrote, "The older I get, the more I enjoy Saturday mornings." He said, maybe it's the solitude of being the first one to rise. Maybe just the joy of not having to be at work. Either way, the first few hours of a Saturday morning, he said, are most enjoyable. A few weeks ago, he writes, "I was shuffling towards the basement with a steaming cup of coffee in one hand and the morning paper in the other. And what began as a typical Saturday morning turned into one of those lessons that life seems to hand you from time to time. He said, I turned up the dial on my ham radio. Remember ham radios when people would use those? He said, I turned up the dial to listen to the Saturday morning chat. And I came across some older sounding man who was saying something about 1,000 marbles. And he was talking to somebody, and what he said was this. He said, well, Tom, sounds like you're busy at your job, and I'm sure it pays you well, but it's a shame to have to be away from home, I'm sure, and your family so much. He said, let me tell you something that helped me keep a perspective on my own priorities. And then he started talking about his theory of 1,000 marbles. And it goes like this, he said. You see, I sat down one day and I started doing some math. Taking the fact that the average person lives about 75 years, some more, some less. And I multiplied 75 by 52 and I came up with 3,900, which is the number of Saturdays the average person has for their entire life. And he says, it took me until I was 55 years old to figure this out. By that time, he says, I already lived through 2,800 Saturdays. And he said, it got me thinking that if I lived to 75, I only had about 1,000 Saturdays left. So he said, I went to a toy store. And I bought every single marble that they had. I ended up going to 3 toy stores to be able to round up 1,000 marbles. This, by the way, is what 1,000 marbles looks like. He said, I took them home and I put them in a clear jar. And every Saturday since then, he says, I take out one of those marbles. And I say a little prayer of thanks. And he said, I started just kind of throwing them away. He goes, after a while, I couldn't do that anymore. So he says, now I take it and I put it in my garden. He said, I found that by watching the marbles disappear one by one, I find that I focus on the more important things. Because there's nothing like watching your time run out to help you get your priorities straight. And now, he said, I'll tell you one last thing before I sign off and take my lovely wife out for breakfast. He said, this morning, I actually took out my very last marble from the jar. Yeah. He said, I figure if I make it till next Saturday, well, I've been given a little extra time. And we can all use a little more time. And then he said, well, it was nice to meet you, Tom. Over and out. And when he signed off, Jeff Davis said, you could hear a pin drop. And then he wrote, now I had planned that morning to work on my antenna and then meet up with a few ham radio friends to work on a Next Club newsletter. But instead, he said, I went upstairs and I woke up my wife with a kiss. And I said, let's take the kids out for breakfast. She said, what's gotten into you? He said, nothing special. But it's been a while since we've just kind of hung out with the kids. And he goes, and by the way, do you think we could stop by a toy store on the way home? As a minister, you know, we get to work with a lot of people who are at the beginning of a lot of things. Beginning of a new marriage. Beginning of a new life, the birth of a new child, baptism, wonderful times, going off to college, starting a career. And we also get to be with a lot of people who are at the end of things, the end of their rope, the end of their hope, the end of their marriage, and the end of their life. And one of the things that I noticed along the way is that a lot of times when people are at the end of things like that, just like the man said, priorities suddenly magically seem to get clear. The appreciation for life comes into really sharp focus. Now, I don't know how many times I've talked to people who've been through some kind of crisis, and they tell me, and a lot of times it's interesting because they tell me, maybe ironically, with a little bit of a laugh, say things like, you know, when I look back before whatever crisis it was that happened, they say, you know, the stuff I used to care about, it just doesn't matter anymore. And now I think about, what was I so worried about all the time? So many things I used to think were so important. Stupid things that would ruin my day. And just the other week, I had somebody say, and you know what? Now it's all happened so fast. Where did it go? There's a French novelist back in the early 1900s who wrote, "What a wonderful life I've had. I only wish I realized it sooner." A recent survey asked, what experiences have strengthened your faith the most? 57% said an illness or injury of a loved one. 55% said death of a loved one. 45% said serious injury or illness themselves. Here's the point. You know what? Jesus would be the first one in line to say, why wait for a crisis to get serious about what you love? Right? What if you could benefit before you had some problem? And the younger, the better. Why not start today? Read an article, actually just this morning, about a woman who got trapped in a burning building, one of my greatest fears, and her life was saved. And she got severely burned. She was held in a hospital unconscious, in an unconscious state for a long time because the pain was so severe. Her face got so deformed that she could barely speak. In so many respects, her life has been ruined. Everything gone. And now she actually lives in a black compression suit. And her response to all this was, I feel lucky. I feel lucky to be alive. Body permanently disfigured, missing half of her nose. Would any one of us trade our life for hers? She says, I feel lucky. She lost half of her nose. I think about when I got all congested. What a miserable day. You know, we get in a fender bender, and it's horrible. We wreck our car and get out alive and we feel blessed. What's wrong with us? How many of us have had our whole day ruined, because the service man who comes to repair one of our appliances, for God's sake, they set this window of time between like 8 a.m. and 4 p.m. Ruined, I tell you, the whole day. Outrageous. What do you have to lose in order to gain? To feel blessed. I'm going to close with another story that, God, I love from the first time I heard it, and that was more than 40 years ago, too, and every time since then. It's by a woman named Nadine Stair, and maybe many of you have heard this story as well. She was 85 years old when she wrote this. Makes me think about my life. If I had my life to live over, she wrote. If I had my life to live over, I'd dare to make more mistakes next time. I'd relax. I'd limber up. I'd be sillier, I've been, than on this trip. I'd take fewer things seriously. I'd take more chances. I'd take more trips. I'd climb more mountains and swim more rivers. I'd eat more ice cream and less beans. I'd perhaps have more actual troubles, she wrote, but I'd have fewer imaginary ones. You see, I'm one of those people who've lived sensibly and sanely all my life, hour after hour and day after day. Oh, I've had my moments. And if I had to do it over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, nothing else. Just moments. Instead of living my life so many years ahead of each day, you see, I've been one of those people who never goes anywhere without a thermometer, a hot water bottle, a raincoat, and a parachute. And if I had to do it over again, I'd travel lighter next time. I'd start barefoot earlier in the spring and stay that way later into the fall. I'd go to more dances. I'd ride more merry-go-rounds. I'd pick more daisies. If I had my life to live over, how would you do it? Why not start today? If I don't blank before I blank, I'll regret it. We each have one of those. What is that for you? Teach us to number our days, says the psalm. And now, you get to fill in the blank. Thank you for sharing a marble with me today.